Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect as many teams are straining their stuff early. The NBA Finals are here and almost over. And MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get on everything imaginable this season. Game spreads, totals, team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sports book expert. All right, guys, welcome into the Pit Panther Rants, other sports rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. Happy Friday, you guys. It's Friday 1 a.m. I've been itching to do this podcast for probably about the last, several days and just haven't gone through it. I have had like a nice little title for it, but unfortunately, we're just going to move on to BC. Here's my thing. If the game was a national televised broadcast and there was nobody in the stands, it never happened. So, you know, as far as I see it, Pitt's 3-0 and they're going to play Boston College. I just don't understand why a 3-0 were not ranked anymore. I don't get it. But let's get to NC State. Because, yeah, we do unfortunately have to talk about this. You know, 2020 has been such a strange year. But at least Pitt football gives us some normality. Because as weird things are, Pitt football obviously isn't weird because it still finds creative ways to lose football games they should win. And Saturday, well, this was one of them. But we knew this was going to rear its ugly head eventually. Like I said in the last podcast, where, you know, Pitt played Louisville and Mikel Cunningham, or Malik Cunningham, whatever he wants to call himself these days, he misfired on some of his passes. Some are on him, some are due to the pressure. But eventually Pitt's defense was going to run into somebody that wasn't going to misfire. And, you know, Pitt did lose some players from last year. Well, there's Dane Jackson. You know, he graduated. Damari Mathis is hurt. And, you know, if you have a really good pass rush, you can hide weaknesses in the passing game. You know, your pass defense. But when you can't get pressure, well, you can't, you know, if you get pressure or you can't get pressure, I'm sorry, I'm talking circles here. If you get pressure, obviously you can shield your deficiencies in pass defense. The Steelers' defense, for as long as I've known it, has been really good at that. When times when they couldn't get a good pass rush, teams would pick them apart. They would be able to make their reads. Same with Pitt. If they can't get pass rush in, well, then stuff like this happens on Saturday. But I know people are going after Penn Arduzzi and Mark Whipple for the offensive production. And rightfully so. But they scored 29 points. Could have had 31 if it wasn't for a drop. And, you know, if you scored almost 30 points, you should be able to win a football game. The defense took a major shit in the fourth quarter. And we lost. And get this, guys. We were outscoring the fourth quarter 13-9. 13-9. So we, I hope we didn't exercise that whole, you know, 13-9 thing for West Virginia, although they did beat you know, Baylor over the weekend. I mean, I can't believe Baylor actually played a football game. Good Lord. As far as the game itself, I mean, offensively, you know, it was all Kenny Pickett. So, you know, as much as I harp on Kenny Pickett, he was not the problem last week. I mean, over 450 plus yards in total offense. I mean, he was the one-man show. And I said, you know what? And I posed this question on Twitter yesterday, and which is, you know, technically yesterday. I said, why not just line up at four wide and just air raid it? They got plenty of weapons to do it with. They're not, I mean, the offensive line isn't all that great. So we can't really get a running game. We really don't have a running back that has the it factor. I mean, Vincent Davis is a nice, hard worker, but he's no close to the second coming of Lerod Stevens-Howling. I mean, you put Lerod Stevens-Howling back there, and he's going to be better than all these running backs that we have. I mean, I'm sorry, but none of these backs could carry Lerod Stevens-Howling's jock. And the guy's only 5'6". He was 5'6 or 5'5", but the guy played like he was a 6-foot, 215-pound back. I mean, and I think if he was a lot bigger, I think his NFL career would have been a lot longer. But look at the rest of the stats here. I mean, Pitt had several drops, which, you know, drops tend to be the issue, and they were pretty critical at this point. DJ Turner, 8 catches, 186 yards. Hell of a game. Jordan Addison, 2 catches, 77 yards on the touchdown. Well, actually, you know, same five, was just that one play. So, Taysir Mack, 6 catches, 76 yards. Taysir is a hell of a talent. He's a pro talent. But if he can't consistently catch the football, he may get practice squad at best. If he can get his shit together, he will have a really good NFL career. If, you know, I think he'll make it. Shockey Jockey, 2 catches, 42. Trey Tipton, 1 catch, 20 yards. I mean, they spread the ball out, but they can't get a running game going. And I don't, you know, we're heading to game 5 now, and I'm not sure if that running game is ever going to surface. Do you guys? I don't see it. I don't see it at all. You know, I mean, halfway through the season, I just don't see a running game happening, and none of these backs are really, they're not eye-opening. I'm ready to, a lot of these, the backs that we have, except for Izzy, because he's a freshman, I'm ready to send these guys to Cal U or IUP at this point. Conference USA, somewhere where they're going to succeed, because they just don't do much for me. And but it's not, you know, it's not totally their fault. I mean, the offensive line hasn't been that great. So, I mean, you know, Dave Borbély, he's got his, I mean, if this keeps up, I mean, we got to do something about him. I mean, we got rid of John Peterson. I think that's who the last guy was. I mean, we got rid of him for a lot less than this, if I'm not mistaken. Or I could be wrong, I don't know. But basically, it was just another day at the office for us as Pitt fans. But like I said, if it didn't happen on national TV or in person, or if you didn't see in person, well, it never happened. I mean, yeah, you could say the media was there, but you know what? The media tends to, you know, they're quote unquote fake news. So yeah, they're rolling. But eventually, Pitt was going to run into a team where the quarterback wasn't going to misfire, and of course, you know, they had a tight end to pretty much pick this apart, and we couldn't cover him. We had no answer for him. We had not a damn thing. When Pitt went up 29-24, and was going for a 2-point conversion, they missed it, and I just remember, there was 1:40 left on the clock. With no timeouts, and just it was flashes of 2009 since they already. They barely had a minute and a half And they were in the end zone, I think, in five plays, I think. And I just, you know, and this, I mean, this was just the shades of it. We had no answer for them. We couldn't get off the field. And then the last two plays that our offense had, I mean, I have no idea what we were doing there. I mean, first play, Kenny's throwing over the middle, and I have no idea why he was throwing a crossing route when you have 20 seconds left. I mean, you got to throw that ball down the field. I mean, I'm not sure what the play call was. And then he threw a Hail Mary to the 50-yard line, and I don't know. I mean, yeah, the guy wasn't the problem. I mean, yeah, Kenny's limited in a lot of things. I'm not sure if his arm strength is really there, but we kind of, with 20 seconds left, you kind of have to throw that ball down the field, and I just don't know why we didn't do that. I mean, this is in Tecmo Bowl where you can throw an underneath route to your fastest receiver, and then he can zigzag his way to the fucking end zone. This wasn't that type of an instance at all. We had to actually, physically throw the ball down the field. But whatever, I'm no expert in this. Now, there also was some bullshit penalties that happened, and I really hate to blame officiating for losses. I mean, there were some that did keep drives alive and, fucked us. But at the end of the day, we had a chance to overcome that and put these guys away, and because bad calls are always going to be, especially in ACC for us. We've been in here for so long. Bad calls are always going to be part of the game, and, well, I don't know. We just didn't get it done, guys. Now, looking around the ACC for the past, for the last Saturday, Wake Forest finally got a win over Campbell. Good for them, 66-14. Clemson beat Virginia 41-23. Virginia didn't play all that bad. I guess, being it was their second game in the ACC, but still, it's Clemson. They move on. North Carolina faced Boston College, and we play BC tomorrow. Boston College came back to, make us a game. When I watch Boston College and Pitt, as we'll get into this, I see a lot of similarities this time around. I mean, both teams are very similar. We're known for the passing game, but our running games suck, and we have good defenses. Florida State beat Jacksonville State 41-24, so good for them. They got in the win column. Virginia Tech beat Duke 38-31, and I thought Tech would blow them out, but Duke, made it a game towards the end. But going around the rest of the college football world, Bama destroyed Texas A&M 52-24. I thought A&M would give them a game, but I'm not really right on a lot of things. Florida knocks off South Carolina 30-24. Georgia knocked off Auburn 27-6. I think I picked Auburn and upset them, and yeah, that didn't work out either for me. TCU knocks out Texas 33-31. I'm getting kind of tired of hearing about how overly hyped Texas is with Tom Herman. And this was supposed to be a big year for them, supposedly. Here's the thing. At one time, Texas was one of the top jobs in the country. Now Texas isn't even the top job in Texas. I mean, if you want to go to a program where you'll make money, get paid, and you have all the resources, you don't have to go to Austin anymore. Baylor has plenty of money. I mean, that's what Matt Rule said when he went to Baylor. He knew that he was going to get all the resources and all the money available. TCU has plenty of money. Texas A&M has boatloads of money. I mean, you can make a lot of money and get a lot of resources just to underachieve. like many coaches have done at A&M. Or if you, you know, if you don't want to go the power route, if you want to go at the SMU or Houston, they're gonna pay you. So yeah, I don't get the hype with Texas anymore. It's a bunch of crap. Since they went to 3-0, Luke Fickell's doing a hell of a job there, and you know, they've kind of rise from the ashes from the whole, you know, Big East implosion, and it's worked out for them. Arkansas knocks off Mississippi State. I mean, Mississippi State knocked off LSU the week before, pretty big, and you know, that's the thing about Mike Leach and his teams. One week they'll aerate the hell out of people and win, and then he'll find creative ways to lose football games, and this is one of them. I mean, things will always look good for Mike Leach's teams, but then he'll find a creative way to lose some football game that he shouldn't lose. Oklahoma State, you know, they're 3-0 as well, and things are looking up for them in the Big 12 because Oklahoma lost, and the Big 12 is already imploding, and we're not even halfway through this season. The Big 12 is already imploding. It's amazing. And SMU knocked off Memphis, so SMU's ranked. I mean, I think they'll end up ranked. I think SMU will come in ranked because they're 4-0 now. But that's pretty much what happened the rest of the college football world. Nothing entirely too crazy. Well, West Virginia beat Baylor in overtime, so there's that. But now you know, guys. As the country starts to reopen up, I'm going to want to get back in the dang scene. And you know what? I'm going to be prepared, you know? So that's why we have Manscaped with a Lawnmower 3.0. It's got skin-safe technology, you know, and if I can't afford my electric bill and if I want to shave in the dark, I mean, it's got a LED. I can shave my balls and my private parts in the dark. Because you know what? I want to look good. I mean, in case, you know, if the girl finds me strangely attractive and wants to, have intimate, have happy time with me, I got to make sure, I'm well-groomed down there, It's not a forest. And, of course, they also got the Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant. And also they got the little spritzer, too, as well. Because, I got to look good, I got to smell good down there as well. Because, I don't want to scare her off. I don't want to, it has to look nice and well groomed and smelling good, Because, things just might work out for me. And, of course, they have the shears where you can, if you want to make your nails look good. Personally, I bite my nails, so it's really freaking mute for me. But, hey, if you want to clip your nails like that, have at it. But go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code armchair, you get 20% off your order, you get free shipping, and you get a box full of goodies, man. You're going to get the Lawnmower 3.0, plenty of stuff, make you smell good, make you look good. So check it out. And of course, you know what? If it's going to be, if it's going to be a night with a rosy palm and her five sisters, then you know what? Go to BetOnline. Plenty of, they got plenty of things, lots of props, lots of things to make money off of. And do the promo code armchair, man. Take advantage of the bonuses. So maybe if you're not going to go on a date and you're stuck with Rosie and her five sisters, well, make sure you wash your hands before, you get on your smartphone and whatnot. Go check out BetOnline. Your sports book experts. All right, guys. Now we go to this week. We got Pitt and BC. And, of course, my phone fell. Excuse me about that, guys. Technical difficulties. I hope, you don't hurt yourselves. But Pitt and BC, basically, are two similar teams. They can pass the ball, but they can't run it. And they got two stingy defenses. BC's defense last week gave Sam Howell some problems. But as I looked in the as I looked, I mean, they pressured him. And I'll tell you what, he's a, Sam, you know, I was pretty hard on him, but he's a hell of a quarterback. I mean, as I watched him move around, I mean, he was making some really good throws. And but I think, you know, with Pitt's wide receivers, and it's going to be a similar thing where Kenny's probably going to have to throw the ball 30 to 40 plus times and throw for 400 yards. It's going to be one of those games. Unless Pitt's running game gets something going, which I don't see that happen anytime soon. But who knows? Weird things happen. Things get overlooked. We may luck out here. But BC can't run the ball, but they do have a pretty big back who may give some trouble towards the end if it goes crunch time. I think the game's going to be another type of game with like it was with NC State. I think you're going to see some scoring. One thing about Phil Jurkovec is he's a hell of a quarterback. I mean, if you give him time, he's going to make you pay. But I think if Pitt can pressure him, I think, it'll work. You know, we can limit him. And, you know, he's still got a few games under his belt. So I think I do like Pitt's chances. I think they win this game by at least, let's see, in Pitt fashion. Let's see, we lost her at 30-29. I say we win 23-20. I think we go under. Or 30-27. We go over. But the key is going to be the pressure Jurkovec. North Carolina was able to do that at times and make him uncomfortable. The guy can move around. He's like he's tall. He's like Roethlisberger. He's tall. He'll move around. I mean, the guy is a statue. But Pitt needs to, you know, to keep on his ass. And, of course, you know, not have what they had happen last week. But, of course, it's going to be up to the offense as well to do some things. I mean, they did all they could, but they're going to have to, you know, score a lot more or just outscore the opponent. But, yeah, this is going to be another tight game. All I can tell you guys is drink lots of beer and lots of alcohol. Keep yourself stress-free. If it gets too much for you, flip on some Paw Patrol or whatever, you know, whatever you want to watch. Put one, if you have kids, put a kids show on, or if you're single, put on a porno or do something else. You know, cut grass, do landscaping. I don't care. I mean, whatever you guys like to do. But yeah, I think it's a tight one. I think Pitt wins it. I think if this was later in the season, probably BC wins it. But I think Pitt will take this one. Now look at the rest of the top 25 for this week. Well, actually, we'll start with the ACC. Then we'll work our way around. Louisville and Georgia Tech. You know, Louisville, now neither one of these teams have played in 2 weeks. And I think Syracuse, obviously, last time, you know, Tech played, they lost to Syracuse and Louisville lost to Pitt. This is a tough one. I think Louisville's a 5-point favorite. I don't know. To be honest with you, Louisville really didn't show me a whole lot. You know what? I was going to take Tech in an upset, but I think Louisville blows them out. Virginia Tech and North Carolina. North Carolina's they're top 10 right now. They're number 8 in the country. Virginia Tech's 2-0. I take North Carolina this one because I think Tech has still got some guys out, and Sam Howell's playing a hell. You know, he looked really good last week, and I think they move on. NC State, Virginia. I actually like NC State in this one. I think they get a lot of confidence from the Pitt game. They take out the Cavaliers. They move on. They move on. Duke and Syracuse. I think Syracuse goes a 2-2 in this one. Duke has just been some hot garbage, but given how hot garbage Syracuse has been, wouldn't surprise me if they would lose either. But I think it's a high scoring one. I think the over under this game is 52. Definitely goes over. Miami and Clemson. Ooh, a top 10 showdown. I think the safe bet is Clemson. But look at here, guys. I don't think there's any fans in the stands for Clemson. Is there in Death Valley? No. So you know what? I'm going with Miami. I'm taking Miami with the upset. And of course, Florida State and Notre Dame. Well, nobody really cares about Florida State, so Notre Dame probably wins this one pretty easily because they, you know, Notre Dame sucks. I mean, Florida State sucks. Now the rest of the top 25, Florida, Texas A&M. Florida probably wins this one. Yeah, I don't think A&M's going to do dick in this game. LSU, Missouri. Yeah, LSU, I think we'll recover and they'll win this one. Texas, Oklahoma. Red River shootouts happened early this year. And you know what? This game would have a lot of meaning, but it really doesn't now. But I think Tom Herman and the crew finally win this one. But I wouldn't be surprised if they find some creative way to lose it like they always do. Because Texas can't stop shit on defense. So, yeah. Tennessee, Georgia. I'm not sure how Tennessee's 14th ranked. I mean, Georgia should probably knock them out of the water. And, of course, we got Alabama and Ole Miss. We got Kiffin versus Saban. Saban will pretty much destroy Kiffin and rub it in his face because that's just how that goes. Now, for Pitt basketball, you know, as you know, Miami of Ohio is denying Nick Sabandi his transfer to Pitt, I guess. So he can't really play at Pitt right away. But luckily, we got Jay Billis on our side who's going after them, but I'm not sure if it's going to work because there's not much of a vocal group in this one. When Pitt was restricting Cam Johnson, we had Jay Billis, we had the ACC. God, I hate the ACC, especially Louisville. And of course, our own fan base was vocal. They were in support of Cam Johnson as well, so eventually an RAD, you know, Heather Like, I guess, you know, decided to intervene and, you know, take care of this one. Obviously, that's an ongoing story. I don't know why they don't just let them play. If coaches can go change jobs with no consequence. Because I think here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to start restricting these athletes like this, why not do something for coaches where if they leave in the middle of a contract, they can't have a postseason. They're not postseason eligible for a few years. So say if they leave with 2 years left in their contract, they don't get to play in a postseason or bowl game for 2 years. Anyway, it's just one thing about it. Well, I'm not going to say much about that. I mean, that's really all I got on that. NBA playoffs, I mean, Lakers obviously are going to close this one out. Tip of the hat from LeBron. The bubble leagues, hockey and NBA were pretty good. They were fun. I enjoyed them. Would love to see more of it. Anyways, guys, stay strong, stay healthy, stay safe. And let's see what other weirdness or normalities go with us for Pitt. How to pick, guys. Talk to you later.